man. Treat you like you're a little man.
Attendance for the millions watching around the world. Let's get ready to suck it!
There's the old school music, and the reason why I'm playing that is because it is the special WrestleMania recap show. It was supposed to come on 15 minutes after the conclusion of WrestleMania. But due to Blog Talk Radio and their particular restraints that they have, we're only allowed one show per day. And if we logged in and created a show after midnight, tomorrow night's show would not let us have tomorrow night's show. So therefore, we're going to take you through the remainder of this match and then the rest of WrestleMania, and then have a little bit of extra time to talk afterwards as well. Fully expecting Dustin to come on with us. Fully expecting we also have Jason Cordonero, who's going to be calling in. I'm not sure if either one of them got the message that we're in earlier time now, but either way. So
you know, I'll tell you what, I don't want to interrupt
event.
You, but I want to be that kid right now.
How dope would that be, huh?
Well, just think about this, though. It's like I was talking about off air. If I was in the audience right now, he would have picked me, because he would have saw the icon on the chest. And he would have saw the duster and everything. He would have saw the gold chains. You know.
You realize that the kid is pre-planned, right?
Yeah, of course.
Now, here's the thing, and I'm gonna play this now because we were supposed to play it Monday. But my good old wireless internet wasn't working. So I'm going to go ahead and play this right now before we get into the discussion of the WrestleMania event here while we get ready for the Roman Reigns impending victory. And that is our new sponsor and business partner. Foundation, the Heart Funding, that is going to be our brand new jingle. You will hear that several times. Well, not our new jingle, but a jingle that's played on the show. You will hear that several times through. Again, go on and check them out. It is the Heart Funding, and you know, I tell you, they are a very, very good company. I mean, again, it's called Sharpshooter Funding, not Heart Funding. Sharpshooter Funding, but either way. And it is
owned by Bret the Hitman Hart,
which is awesome. It is sharpshooterfunding.com. Okay, again, sharpshooter, all one word, sharpshooterfunding.com. Go on and check it out. They have all sorts of cool stuff on there. The website is made. You can check it out. I'm on it right now, and I'm looking at this. I mean, they have long-term funding options for nearly anything that you would need money for. Receive the money, reach a decision in under 48 hours, and access your funds in as little as 72. And again, it doesn't matter what you're funding. I'm hoping we can get Julie or one of them on to tell us a little bit more about what they are funding. But it looks to me like they fund pretty much anything, but still learning a little bit about it.
It wouldn't be Julie Hart because she's the ex-wife of the hitman.
No. The mother. What was the mother's name?
Yeah, Julie Hart, but she's not involved because she's the ex-wife of Brett the hitman.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, hopefully we get one of the Harts on either way to come on.
Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we are going to have on, I have it confirmed, that we will be having Bruce Hart on with us on April 16, 2018 at 9:15 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Okay, well, there you go. So I'm pretty sure they will be able to tell us exactly what is being funded. But again, it is sharpshooterfunding.com. Go on and check them out if you are one of our listeners, and we will go from there. So the thing is, to me, all right, this show, all of the titles changed hands other than the AJ Styles one. Now, we'll get to that here in a minute with the AJ Styles debacle that went down at the end of the match for Shinsuke Nakamura, which I didn't see coming. But let's start early on here. And the first match of the night that wasn't on the pre-show, and that was that Intercontinental title match, with Seth Rollins coming away with that belt. I mean, did you see that happening? And what did you think about that match?
Well, I'll tell you what, Seth Rollins winning that belt, you know, he is now the second wrestler in WWE history to hold all the titles. The first, of course, was Shawn Michaels. Now, Seth Rollins holds that title.
Well, see, I didn't know that, so I learned a little something there. I liked it. I really honestly thought it was going to be Finn. But I, you know, obviously it wasn't, but I thought Finn, you know, he had the most crowd support, you know, he had the most, I guess the most to gain by this. Again, it was Seth Rollins who injured Finn Balor to take him out and have to vacate his Universal title. We all remember what happened there. I really thought that this was sort of going to be redemption for Finn Balor. But for some reason, they decided to give it to Seth Rollins. But I don't think this is over, honestly. I don't think this is over between Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. The Miz, I think they took the belt off of him because, as you know, he has a newborn daughter. So congratulations to them, to Maurice Ouellette, or Ouellette, I believe is how she says it. Ouellette, I believe it is, actually. And The Miz, as they again have that new baby, so I'm assuming he dropped the belt, so we'll have more time to, you know, go spend with them. So that match was all right, but what I was really shocked about, honestly, because when I watched that match, I was okay, Seth Rollins wins, sure, cool, Intercontinental title match. I didn't have a lot going into that match to begin with. I didn't have a lot of stock in it. It wasn't a match I was really, you know, jumping for joy about, and I'm really kind of glad it went first. The second match, however, Charlotte Flair and Asuka, not going to lie.
I was not expecting that. And the interesting thing about it is, we had been talking on this show for several weeks that Asuka was not going to come away with a loss. Now,
we didn't think so, no.
This proves my point. We do have a member of WWE Creative listening to this show, and because we talked about it, they switched the outcome. That's what happened.
Well, I looked at it like this, and again, I do apologize for any of the noise that was in the background there. I think hopefully we had gotten it fixed. I'm not going to lie here. I think that was probably the best match of the night.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But,
I mean,
you know, the watching the emotion from Charlotte Flair herself after that match, you know, I just, I was just into it. Yeah, that was definitely the most entertaining match of the night. Now, from that point, I thought, okay, this is going to be the pay-per-view of the year that we've all wanted to see and expected it to be. Then,
okay,
they hit us with Undertaker and John Cena. What that match was?
Well, that wasn't yet, though. Well, yeah, but we're going to go in order here because I have a couple of things to say about that, and we're waiting on Dustin and possibly Dustin and Jason to call in here. Again, I don't know if Jason knows about the time change, but no, what I was looking at in that Charlotte Asuka match. Now that sort of mortalizes Asuka a little. Asuka, there's not as much pressure on Asuka. I don't think that they really had a place for Asuka yet. And I really don't think that they do at the moment, because now you're looking at, okay, you know, Charlotte Flair is going to run SmackDown. She's already beaten Asuka. Asuka's going to get that rematch at Backlash, because that's who else is Charlotte Flair going to face from the SmackDown roster? I mean, what, is it going to be Naomi again? I mean, she won the Women's Battle Royal. No, she's going to face Asuka again. Asuka's going to beat her. I think that they wanted Charlotte Flair to retain simply because they want to build up this storyline. They want to play this off more. We've barely seen Asuka since she won the Royal Rumble. Now, I guarantee you, you're going to see more and more build up between those two to have another epic match at Backlash, because Backlash isn't going to be as good as WrestleMania. It hasn't. It's never been. They need a signature staple match, especially a signature women's match, and that could be one of the main events of it, per se. So I definitely like the idea, and you know, the whole object of Asuka being undefeated. It's sort of, to me, I've never felt Asuka was this crazy immortal character. I mean, she's 5 feet tall, and I don't really like her style. You know, I mean, sure, she's great. She's a great athlete. But I think in ring, I like Charlotte Flair's style a lot more. I'm glad Charlotte Flair won. Plus, it's a little bit of a tribute to her dad. I'm with it. I'm okay with what happened.
Well, you know, and Charlotte Flair, you know, showed me a lot. And the thing that I liked about Asuka is how, you know, she and of course, well, I know we'll talk about it because we just saw it in the last match that we just saw before it came on the air, mm-hmm. but. I think the two of those, the professional courtesy that they showed each other at the end of the, in the middle of the ring, after that match ended, you can't deny the bond that those two have and how long that rivalry is going to go on. Finally, we have a good rivalry in the women's division on SmackDown. It's been a while. It's been, what, 6 months since we've had one?
It's been a good – it's about time we finally have anything on SmackDown worth watching. So, yes, I'm very happy about that. And, you know, Asuka, I think what WWE needed was a curveball, because if you look at a lot of these matches, I think the triple threat match, people didn't really have a – you know, an idea as to who was going to win. Some people thought Finn. Some people thought Seth. But I don't think people really had a prediction. Everybody thought Asuka was going to win that match. And that's what you got to do at WrestleMania. If you're going to have the champion win, it's got to be an epic match, because people want to see title changes. People want to see drama. And in this case, the champion was actually the underdog, and they did a very brilliant job, in my opinion, of boosting up the whole Charlotte Flair being the underdog despite being the champion thing. And so this, if anything, was sort of an underdog feel-good story. So it was just an interesting way that they played that. For those of you who are watching WrestleMania right now, we do have Brock Lesnar coming to the ring. He is going to face Roman Reigns. Now, here's one thing I want to ask before we get into the match by match breakdown.
Right. With the event, I will say one thing. There's no way this match is going to last an hour and 15 minutes.
You mean 15 minutes? It's 11:45 here.
Well, yeah, I know, but the deal is this was supposed to go on until midnight. My time, which would be 1 a.m. your time, there's no way this match is going to last for an hour and 15 minutes.
I think you messed that up. I think it was supposed to be midnight my time, because I don't think that they would, on a school night, I don't think that they would, their target audience is kids. I don't think that they would keep kids up to, I'm surprised they're going to go to midnight on a school night. But let me just say this quick. As Brock Lesnar walks to the ring, with the current developments of Conor McGregor, does this give the UFC even more motivation to get Brock Lesnar back there quicker?
I think so. And they've been talking about it for a long time. And, I think Brock Lesnar, he'll go, if he loses this match, wink, wink, if he loses this match, I think that he will go back to MMA for a while. And, he'll maybe be gone for, I don't know, a year maybe or so. And, when he gets bored with that, he'll come back to the WWE. If that's what happens.
Well, because I was going to say, is there any chance that we get another curveball and Brock Lesnar comes away with this match?
I don't know. I'll tell you what, Brock Lesnar is coming out as the aggressor right now, you know.
Are you surprised?
No. I figured he would be, the aggressor, but I didn't think he'd be this much of the aggressor,
But again, it is Brock Lesnar. Jumping back in the card, the match that went on after that, and by the way, I'm going to say thank you, WWE, for putting the cruiserweight match beforehand, because that was absolutely fantastic. I didn't have to suffer through that, but watching it afterwards, then I'm watching that match and I'm like, okay, great, all is well, all is good. Charlotte Flair beats Asuka. The Ronda Rousey, Kurt Angle, and Stephanie McMahon Triple H match. It was early in the night, but boy, I'll tell you, they did a good job with that match. I thought it was going to be gimmicky. I thought it was going to kind of be very shtick like, and you were going to see the same shenanigans that had the authority win the match. But I tell you what, they did a hell of a job at that match, and Ronda Rousey looked really good.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, maybe I shouldn't be commenting about this. Maybe I shouldn't. But let's talk about I'm heading here about the. I was going to head there anyway. Let's talk about the ring attire. I thought Ronda Rousey coming out in that little kilt was really cute, And here's my question.
Yeah,
why does Cedric Mann not dress like that all the time?
All the time? Yeah, no, I know. Stephanie McMahon, dude, she's always been pretty. But, boy, she is flat out hot for a 40-plus-year-old lady. I mean, she looked good tonight. That voice. She's perfect, other than that damn, castrated cat voice that she has going on. But here's the thing with Rousey, though, okay? In that match, it was so up and down. It was so back and forth. I honestly thought Ronda Rousey was going to look really, really green. Because, again, Ronda Rousey is used to actually hitting people. Okay, she's used to – I thought for sure she was going to slip and, break Stephanie's nose or something here tonight. And – obviously she didn't, but the presence of Ronda Rousey and the ability of Ronda Rousey to make her way around a wrestling ring, with only being signed there for, 3 weeks now, officially, it really impressed me the way that she looked tonight.
You know, and I thought maybe, I was looking at this, it's like, when is Ronda going to get in? You know, and I'll tell you what, my favorite part was when she stood toe-to-toe with Triple H, and he's like, she had that look like, I'm going to make you my bitch tonight, you know? I just love that look, you know?
And, you know, Ronda, boy, I never thought Ronda Rousey was, you know, any sort of attractive. But, of course, you know, she was getting her face beat in. She was in an actual Ultimate Fighting before. But, boy, with that makeup on, she didn't look too bad. And for Ronda, I just hope that WWE does this the right way. I hope that they don't give Ronda Rousey a title shot now or make her completely unstoppable or make her – you know, I want them to build this story. I want this to be, you know, more. Because you remember, the McMahon-Helmsley regime, back in the day, back when the McMahon-Helmsley regime and the corporation were, you know, in their prime, okay, they lost almost every pay-per-view, okay? They would kick ass all of Raw, all of
The cost of something
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Yeah, see, I can interrupt you too, damn it.
That's a good one, though.
Well, hey, real quick here, before you start talking, we want to welcome Dustin back. Now, for those of you who have been with us since the beginning, this is our third year anniversary from when we all started this.
Well, Dustin, and for those of you who are maybe new fans or may have forgotten, Dustin actually was the creator, the brainchild of this show, which now has
one of them
upwards. Well, one of them, yeah, one of them anyway, which has upwards of around 4,000 in their fan base, over 2,000 likes on Facebook. I mean, we've talked to independent superstars, we've talked to former WWE superstars, we've had actors, we've had, you know, celebrities, and it all started off with Dustin going out to Fargo, North Dakota, and getting Buff Bagwell to come on the show with us. So it just catapulted from there.
That's
so,
not the only thing.
That was when the icon was discovered.
Well, that's when he was. Yeah, like, yes, I was getting there, but I was going to say, Dustin, thank you for that. Yeah, so you're watching the show here, Dustin. You're an MMA guy. I'm assuming during the middle of our Ronda Rousey discussion is when you cut in. I'm assuming you had something to say about your former girl, Rousey, there?
Honestly, I just was like, am I going to cut off Icon, this poor guy?
Oh.
He busts his ass for the show and does everything. Or am I going to, for old time's sake, wait until Chris gets deep into thought and then hit him with the CM Punk music? So
that's actually
it
what
was
happened.
A little bit...
I jumped off the couch. It was fun. Yeah.
No, but honestly, it's cool to be back on and talking with you guys. It's been a long time. I'm stoked for what you've done to this point. Icon's been killing it with getting guests, and you guys have been doing some serious
and advertisers.
Yeah.
Well, the Bret Hart Foundation. We're linked up. We're linked up with Bret Hart's Foundation. I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's big time, man. Make sure everybody knows too. I mean, you're on Instagram now. The Facebook page is booming. So push all your social media, and everybody'll find you a lot quicker. It'll be awesome. So, but honestly, I mean, the highlight of the night for me, you know, I'm a Rollins guy, so I was looking forward to that because HBK did all of his damage in his prime with Razor Ramon for that IC title. So I, you know, being the second coming of Sean, I'm a big Rollins supporter, and I was looking forward to that match, and I was pretty satisfied with it. To be honest with you, I've been on a sabbatical from wrestling for almost a year.
Don't blame me.
I missed the Shield reunion. even though apparently it really wasn't that much of a reunion. I missed this. I mean, I blink and I look up and all of a sudden you got what, Tajiri is back. And he looks like a homo with half his head shaved, and he's kicking AJ Styles. That was a fucking joke. And then apparently his sister is fucking getting her ass beat by Charlotte Flair, but she's somehow this like immovable force at all of 4'8" and, you know, fucking a little flabby in the belly. And all of a sudden, I'm supposed to think that she's going to take out basically the closest thing in the women's division to Brock Lesnar. But, hey, WWE creative, way to fucking kill that. But, yeah, I mean, Rollins, for that IC title, I think that was awesome. So I heard them say now he's, you know, the third ever Grand Slam. And I was like, what? Because I thought he already had the Intercontinental title when he was the double title, but I forgot that was the U.S.
Yeah.
So crazy that that's the only title he hasn't gotten. The only issue I have with it is he's so young. Like, they should have waited. You know what I mean? That's like a career milestone. Now that he has that, he's done everything. What is there left for Seth Rollins to do as far as accolades? He's got every title.
Do you think it's the
knee? You know what I mean?
I mean, do you think that they might possibly be concerned about what if he gets injured again?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're planning for the end. That's a sad thing.
He is injury prone. That is true.
Well, it's the same knee twice. That's the thing. If it wasn't the same knee twice, then I wouldn't be so concerned. But, I mean, when you tear your ACL twice in the same leg, I mean, I'm surprised the guy's even cleared to wrestle at all.
Well, the thing is, though, too, if you guys – I mean, obviously we talked about being more active on Instagram. It's we have the Attitude Era Live page, and one of the guys we follow is Seth Rollins. You're going to see nonstop CrossFit training. The guy is a fuck. He is unbelievable. He's – fit beyond belief. He has strength and muscles in places we don't even know that they're supposed to be there. So my whole thing is, yeah, he might have a bad knee, but dude, of anybody to get through any type of physical training or any type of, you know, rehabbing or anything, I'm confident that it, you know, Rollins could do it. You know, if he's got to wear the Austin brace for the rest of his life, then so be it. I mean, Taker did it, Austin did it, you know, The Rock did it, Triple H did it, Sean did it. I mean, sometimes you got to wear that thing just to keep the leg together. So,
nah,
I don't know, man.
True.
So I'm stoked that, like I said, I took some time off. I come back,
right.
And all of a sudden, the curb stomp's back. I'm like, thank God. Because I was, like, absolutely disgusted with the pedigree thing, because he's not as big and powerful as Triple H, so the pedigree didn't look good coming from Rollins. I thought it was an awful finisher for him. I wanted
the WWE,
him to pick up the Sweet Chin Music because he would kill that.
True. But the WWE is going back towards a little bit more violence now because the ratings have been so bad with them tailored towards kids. Like you just saw, for those of you watching WrestleMania, Brock Lesnar just put Roman Reigns through the announce table. They've been going back to this sort of increased violence because – back when the Attitude Era came out, that's what made wrestling what it is. And the fact that they've been a Disney movie for the last 5 years really has killed them. So that's why they allowed Seth Rollins to do the curb stomp again. And I'm, you know, I'm in favor of it as well. I think it's a pretty dope ass move. But now let me say this.
Darker is better, man.
Darker is better.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, where the hell are you, man? You in a wind tunnel or a car wash? What's going on?
Well, I'm having some. I'll tell you what. This is Fargo, North Dakota, and we're supposed to be in spring, and we got a freaking snowstorm going on here, and it's messing with my signal.
Icon, do you really think that you should be having snow in April?
I never thought that. Well,
it doesn't matter what you think.
Set you up for that one.
Awesome. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
Yes, no problem. So I come, well, that's okay. We'll bear with it. We can still hear you. If it really gets jumbled or whatever, then we'll go from there. When I was going to go match by match, but because of our limited time, maybe we won't go match by match. But what about, and in fact, I'm going to mute Icon for the time being just because it does sound all crispy. What about the biggest jobber of the night, John Cena? I mean, look at this whole thing with Cena possible heel turn and saying all these nasty, deflammatory things about The Undertaker. Undertaker answers the call. And I'm sitting
here
thinking,
that was a joke.
Well, yeah, but I'm sitting here thinking there's no way. There's no way they're going to have Undertaker lose 3 years in a row, especially to somebody like John Cena. But I didn't expect the match to be shorter than Undertaker's walk to the ring was. You know, I didn't expect
that.
Yeah,
that was the worst match of the night, gentlemen, and it sucked.
And yeah, what that was just fan-pleasing. That's all that was. That was just the fans getting a chance to see The Undertaker win one last time and that kind of thing. I don't think that was really meant to be much of anything, honestly.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I kind of agree with you there because, one, the build-up was semi-good. It wasn't great. And, it, you know, usually when you're going to have The Undertaker – if it's going to be anything of a match, he's going to be on Monday Night Raw answering the call before he goes out 15 minutes.
Now, we've got blood, by the way. We've got blood at WrestleMania. This is amazing. Real quick, Icon and Dustin, I think that what the WWE did with Goldberg was perfect. Goldberg was a 50-plus-year-old man, came in, fought short matches, got the job done in quick order, and got out of there. If they're going to continue to bring Undertaker back once a year, that's what they got to do. The man can't go 20 minutes anymore. It's not going to happen. So I like what they did, and I like the fact that Cena took one for the team like he's been doing the last couple of years. Now, okay, what kind of got to me a little bit, I got it, and we've been discussing this throughout the last couple of weeks, was the Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax situation. Now, as Icon knows, okay, as Icon knows, wait a second, I'm going to take a brief pause here. Brock Lesnar just beat Roman Reigns.
Well,
I guess he's not going to UFC. All right, we will talk about that in a minute. And whose TV? Is that yours, Dustin? We're going to talk about that in 1 second. Icon, I've been talking to you the last couple of weeks on the build-up about the Nia Jax situation and about how Nia Jax has put the work in and about how Nia Jax deserves to be WWE champion on the women's side for quite a while. Okay, now, I don't think the way that they played it off, I don't like that, because what they did was they said, oh, this is a whole anti-bullying campaign. This is a whole, you know, Nia Jax was being made fun of for how she looks. And Nia Jax was, you know, so because look at it this way. If Nia Jax lost that match tonight, what does that say about the WWE? Oh, the prissy cheerleader valley girl is always going to be better than the heavy set girl who has talent who's been overlooked. So when they spun that into a political campaign, that's when I got a little annoyed. That's when I got a little annoyed. What they should have played it off as is that, you know, Nia Jax, with the work that she's put in, deserves to be the women's champion just because of her skill in the ring alone, not because she's 250 pounds. So that's what I didn't like about it. And I knew it was coming. I knew Jax was going to win. I just don't like the political statement that they were trying to make in this political correct society that we live in.
Well, you know, I can't disagree with that. And once again, well, on the contrary, would believe what I say or not, we've been talking about this all this time, just like what happened with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. We've been talking for the last 2 months that Brock Lesnar was going to lose at WrestleMania, and he didn't, because we've been talking about it on what they were going to do. They didn't do it because, I swear, they have someone from creative listening to the show, and because we talk about it, they changed it.
But Icon, here's another thing, though. What I'm thinking here is that they want to give the fans what the fans want. And I don't think Mr. McMahon, Vince McMahon, could sit there and stomach WrestleMania going off the air in a parade of boos for the third straight year. I don't think he could do it, because I really think that if Roman Reigns, who has headlined WrestleMania the past 3 years, is going to, you know, is going to win the match, they're going to boo him. Now, does the fans want to see a part-time champion Lesnar? No, not necessarily. But I think its situation is anybody but Roman. But if you're going to have Roman win the Rumble, why aren't you going to give him the title here? So that's what I'm a bit concerned about, and that's what I'm confused about when it comes to creative. I think the creative did a good job at keeping the curveballs coming and keeping the plot twists coming all night, but some of their plot twists really didn't make sense to me as to why they did them.
Well, I am completely in shock that it didn't happen. Now, I still think Brock Lesnar is going to go back to UFC, but are they not going to do the match the way that we've been talking about it, because we've been talking about it like that, because that's what everybody expected, because it's been announced that he's going back to UFC, or is he going to lose it tomorrow on Monday Night Raw?
He could lose it on Raw, but he also could be, they could spin it this way. He could make the announcement, hey, I'm leaving and I'm taking the title with me, and then they could have Kurt Angle strip him of the title, therefore leaving it vacant for Big Man Braun Strowman to go get it. That's what I think is going to happen. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you about, Icon, and Dustin, one thing you've missed through your absence in the show is, and Icon, I'm going to unmute you. When you hear the words unmuted coming from the computer voice, you'll know that you're not muted, but I have to mute you while I'm talking, because it's just, I don't know, the static that's going on. But Dustin, one thing you've missed out on is Icon's absolute disdain, and I mean full-blooded hatred of Kevin Owens. And I think, honestly, Kevin Owens put on a hell of a performance tonight to really solidify himself as the heel. All the trash talking, all of the, you know, the moves that he was doing, you know, the cheap shot attack on Daniel Bryan. I really, really think that Kevin Owens did a good job at acting tonight. The only question is, if they're going to stay fired, what's the next move for him and Sami Zayn?
Well, I hope they're gone for good.
Yeah, they might go to Raw.
Well,
that is very true.
Gone from SmackDown from good, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, we were also talking about a possible heel turn with Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan, which did not
happen. Nope.
Because we talked about it.
But I was half expecting Shane McMahon, if he really did have diverticulitis, the work that was done on the midsection of Shane McMahon, I was half expecting him to shit his pants in the ring. I mean, they kept punching him in the stomach left and right, and anybody that's had a hernia or anybody that has diverticulitis knows that getting hit in the stomach, you know, and having those two conditions are not good bedfellows. So I was half expecting that.
Can we discuss the, like, Stephanie looked incredible. She is unreal.
Oh, yeah. Just before you came on, Dustin, we talked about, I mean, think about when you go to the bar and you think of, like, the hottest cougar in the bar. Out of all the cougars that are in the bar, she's the hottest one. And, I mean, Stephanie McMahon, she's always been kind of cute. But, you know, usually women, and again, no offense, women out there, if you're listening, women don't tend to age as well as guys in certain scenarios. The older they get, the less sexually appealing they get to guys. It's fact, women. I'm sorry. It happens. Stephanie McMahon seems to be getting hotter and hotter with age instead of deteriorating a little bit in age. You know, she doesn't have it going for her. She's a white woman. She's not going to be Asuka, who's going to be 60 and look the same. Okay? She's Stephanie McMahon. So I really think Stephanie McMahon, you know, with the badass biker thing that she did and the full leather outfit was absolutely beautiful tonight. I liked the intensity. I think that it's kind of cheesy that the only wrestling move she knows how to do is the bitch slap. But other than that, I think she did all right. Now, for those of you who are still watching WrestleMania, Roman Reigns is walking away, all bloody and beaten. And it was an event that Jason, when we spoke to Jason, Jason said that this might end up being one of the best WrestleManias we've had in a while. Do the two of you think that it's lived up to that bill? Because, I mean, last year's WrestleMania was wildly underwhelming.
Not at all.
I'll tell you, I loved the first three matches. I thought the first three matches were great, and I thought, okay, this is going to be a great pay-per-view. And then they went south on me. And they didn't lose my interest completely. The John Cena match, I'm like, are you kidding me? What in the hell?
And another match.
I knew that Rollins was going to bring it, but who would have thought that the first and second match were going to be the only two good matches all fucking night? Like,
I don't think anybody thought that.
Rollins match was great, and then Charlotte stole the show. So, like, I think it was a joke, and I think Triple H looked old in the ring tonight. That was
he
sad.
Did.
So,
he did.
WWE is hurting
really
right
good
now.
Thing. Yeah, they're hurting right now, but obviously I rank this down near the bottom of WrestleManias in history. It's been better than the last.
Dude, there are
Survivor
Series that were better than this fucking or SummerSlam. They were better than this WrestleMania.
Very true. In the history of the WWE, yes, this is down near the bottom. But for the last couple of years, this has been better than what we've seen over the last couple of years. And I think that's
How are you gonna beat the Hardy Boys coming out of nowhere to win the tag titles? And then
that
DX
was like
versus NWO. That was incredible, dude.
That was like 10 years ago. I'm talking about
that was not ten years ago. You're crazy.
It absolutely was. And I'll look it up right now when it was, but I think
it was 4 years ago, actually.
It was
maybe
not
four, okay.
10 years ago.
Maybe four. but either way, it was a long time ago. I'm talking about the last two WrestleManias have been wildly underwhelming. This one was a little bit better than those. But
do you think it's any coincidence, too, that the guy carrying the load has been Brock Lesnar? So the last two WrestleManias have been, extremely underwhelming. Dude, everybody's getting sick of Brock. Like, I liked Brock when he was, one of many. And he came over with the ECW invasion. But The Rock and Stone Cold and Triple H and all these main guys were still around. Dude, when Brock has to be your main guy and then he's not even here every week and then you have to rely on little bitches like Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose to, carry the load. And then you got Cesaro and fucking Sheamus that have just, been completely just turned to garbage. They're just having fun, and they're roadies with each other now. WWE is hurting, man. I can't even say that if Rollins won the title tomorrow that I would be excited because I wouldn't. Randy Orton was one of my guys, too, and he just lost to this other schmuck. It's just a joke, man.
Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, Jinder Mahal. No, that match sucked, too.
That was terrible.
I also don't like the new wrestling style of Bobby Roode. I loved Roode in TNA. I don't really like Roode now, though. And, I just think he's too corny now. So, that match I didn't care about. That match did nothing for me. Dustin, again, just dropped off, but I'm sure he's still listening. That match did nothing for me, and I don't know. I mean, this WrestleMania, yeah, it was entertaining. It gave me something to do, but it was just overall not absolutely – didn't absolutely blow my doors off like I thought it was going to. Now, here's my thing. And we don't have too much longer left, but because I do have some things I got to do for tomorrow. But
I think we got about 15 minutes left. But before we continue, though, I just want to announce real quick to everybody who our guests are going to be on tomorrow night, so you guys can all tune in. You know, it is after WrestleMania. We do have a three guest night. We're going to have terrific Tim Lawler. Who, of course, is the cousin to Jerry Lawler. We're going to have Mike McGurk. She is the hottest ring announcer that the WWE has ever had, in my opinion, anyway. And also, Chelsea Blackout. She's going to stack the deck against the house. She's on with us, and she's really awesome.
Hey, I'm just finishing my show.
So I don't know what's going on with that music, but whatever, you know. Are you guys there? I don't know what happened.
It was because I asked Scotty, and Scotty said no. Frankie's fine. Mush is fine. They're all fine. He goes, the only one bad for a month is Alan.
I have no idea what's going
because
on.
You're the recognizable face that they all know. They don't know who the hell Jared Williamson is. So. But yo, I am finishing up my show. I'll call you in a minute.
Anyway, so we're gonna have three guests tomorrow night, and tune in. So we got some Hall of Fame.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had my phone was ringing, and I had to because it was you'd hear it over the air, so I had to take care of that. Last thing I want to talk about real quick, just to get our live, you know, a live take on it, a live feed on it. Shinsuke Nakamura was the heel turn that nobody expected. I mean, did you see that coming with Shinsuke at the end of the AJ match?
I didn't. And, what's really interesting is, little tidbit here. Of course, I'm sure no one cares, but I'm going to say it anyway. This is the first pay-per-view that I've actually watched with my father, you know.
Oh,
and,
nice.
My father had some choice words for Shinsuke Nakamura. My dad does not like Shinsuke Nakamura, and now I guess I don't either because I guess that's the whole point. And no, I was not expecting that turn. I was expecting the turn to be between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, but once again, I still say, and I'm going to stick with this for a long time, because we talked about it is why it didn't happen.
And, you know, that very well could be a possibility. I also felt there were a couple of filler matches that should have been earlier on in the night. Now, I like the idea of having Intercontinental title early on, the women's title early on, you know, yada, yada, keep the interest right from the get-go. But, I mean, that four-way for the U.S. title and the SmackDown tag title, I didn't care about either one of those. And those honestly put me to sleep, to be honest with you. The Nakamura thing.
But
you got to admit, though,
seeing midgets dress up like pancakes was pretty cool, doing the worm.
That was pretty awesome. But, again, I'm over New Day. I'm sick of New Day. Now the Bludgeon Brothers – I liked their idea. I liked the whole dark aspect of what they bring to the table. I enjoyed that. But, just an underwhelming match. And the Nakamura match as a whole was pretty underwhelming, in my opinion. I just didn't think that the AJ Nakamura match lived up to the hype, per se. I'll give it probably a B, for WrestleMania, which is – I call me an optimist, but it's better than I expected. I expected this to be a stacked card, and a complete bust. And there were a couple of matches and a couple of moments where I was like, wow, did that just happen? One of which being there being blood in the final match when Roman Reigns got busted open. That was something that I felt was, you know, much needed, a breath of the old Attitude Era coming back, which I really liked. So I was okay with that. I was happy with that. And, you know, I'm glad that it happened. WrestleMania is now replaying. Seth Rollins is coming out right now. And I'm not going to watch it again. I have other stuff to do here. I've already watched it once. But overall, Icon, you know, the whole purpose of the show was really just to give our take on the show as a whole. So I guess if you had to put it into one final thought regarding it, what would you have to say about WrestleMania tonight?
Could have been better.
Could have been better. That's a good way to phrase it. A few bright spots, few bright spots here and there. But overall, yes, it could have been a better event. The only thing worse than WrestleMania tonight was Corey Graves' hair, and we won't even get into that right now. But honestly, he looks like Perez Hilton with that hairstyle. So
yeah.
Once again, we are we just wanted to do our quick little wrap up. This was not meant to be a super long show. We do have our normal show at the normal time tomorrow night. Icon just gave you who the guests are going to be. Tonight, when I get everything set, we're going to go on Instagram. We're going to post some pictures, some reviews. We're going to post some blogs. We're going to do a whole bunch of stuff. We're really going to start pushing this on social media. And for those of you out there who may have missed the promo spot at the beginning of the show, I want to introduce all of you to our new sponsor. So once again, go to www.sharpshooterfunding.com. Go on and check it out. See what they've got to offer. If you need some funding, Bret Hart is the man to help you out with that. Icon, I have to run into the station real quick and make sure that everybody is all set to go and doing what they're supposed to do. So I will see you tomorrow night, all of our fans. We will see you tomorrow night. WrestleMania was about a B, possibly a B+. Icon, I think, said it best when he said it could have been better. So, Icon, enjoy the snow up there. For all of you fans who are currently sitting in a snowstorm in April, I do apologize. But hey, you know what? It could be worse, right? Could have been WrestleMania could have been better, and the weather could be worse. So that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, it could have been. But I'll tell you what, for those of you who are disappointed about WrestleMania, you can look forward to our show every week. That'll be better.
It always is, always has, and always will. You see what I did there? A little Bret Hart tribute, except it was, you know, different because I don't have the trademark on that actual saying. So, anyways, Bret Hart, we love you, man. Thanks for endorsing the show. Again, sharpshooterfunding.com. Check it out. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Dead man walking. You've done it now.